Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Do you guys hear that?
That is the sound of turkey drippings sizzling in a pan. We're here with Sam Sifton, by the way. We're in his kitchen in Red Hook, Brooklyn. I'm Wesley Morris.
I'm Jenna Wortham, and this is Still Processing, our Thanksgiving episode.
So, Sam Sifton, welcome. Food editor at the New York Times. Author, literal, wrote the book on Thanksgiving. Which you should buy. Came out in 2012. It's delightful.
It's amazing.
A lot of rules, a few recipes, awesomeness.
Go-to guide.
And you've got a column in the magazine.
Yeah, man.
That I use frequently. Anyway, the New York Times magazine, by the way. We're making gravy. What are
yes,
you doing?
We are.
What was the sizzling?
So that was a bunch of turkey fat, essentially, that rendered out of a turkey thigh that I cooked for us to eat for lunch today. And it's just sitting here in the pan, sizzling away. The sizzle is just a little bit of the juice, still turkey juice, evaporating. Yeah. And we're just going to be left with fat. And fat is at the basis of every awesome gravy.
Amen.
Right? So you could conceivably make the gravy on the day, right? You could do it on Thanksgiving. Or you could buy a bunch of turkey thighs and roast them off, get a ton of fat, and make some gravy ahead of time that could be like a backup gravy.
Can't run out of gravy.
Listen to Sam.
He knows what he's talking about.
Don't run out of gravy.
Thanksgiving this year is going to be tough enough without skimping on the gravy.
That's right.
So let's not.
Gravy is what binds us together as a nation. So let's do it right. So we have some turkey fat in there. I'm going to add some flour to the pan and incorporate it into the fat. It's what they call quick mixing flour.
So you don't have to whisk it in.
So I don't have to whisk it in.
This is mind blowing.
Now, the reason you whisk is to avoid the dreaded lump, right?
Right. So you just poured in some more of the fat.
Yeah, a little more fat. You want basically to go 1-to-1 on flour and fat. And what I did was I had taken some of this fat out of the pan because I thought maybe it was too much, but I don't think it's too much.
You put it aside in a bowl because you're no fool.
Right.
You might need it again.
I might need it again.
What's the primary agent in this flour that you use?
There's no agent. It's just, it's been milled a lot. So it doesn't clump.
Ah, okay.
So it's just like a very fine gravy.
So you're just using a wooden spatula.
It's got an edge to it.
Right, you're scraping it.
And I'm scraping that up.
Okay.
Then I'm going to reach over here and get a ladle.
Mm-hmm.
We've got hot turkey broth here.
Okay, now where's that from?
I make that ahead too. I get a bunch of necks and some wings and make that ahead.
Okay.
Now I'm going to add that to our sizzling roux.
So you're stirring now, you've added the stock and the flour.
You saw me scrape up all those little bits of turkey skin, and those are in there too. Look how dark that is.
Yeah, that looks rich.
It's great.
Little half and half? Mm-hmm. What do you think? I like the little cream in there.
Yeah,
let's do it.
The thicker the better.
We could do a lot here. You could put wine in here.
I was going to say, this is
you could do a bourbon if you wanted. Really? Anything that, you're adding another layer of flavor. I want to add another layer
My grandmother does
of
heavy
fat.
Cream. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go heavy cream?
No, I'm just telling you what my grandmother does.
Listen.
This is what Martha Ann and Carol do on Thanksgiving. And my mother.
I fell in love with Wesley's late mother, and now I want to honor her by using the ingredient that she would have used making this gravy. And look, it's getting to be the right color. You know what this would be really good on?
Everything?
Fried chicken.
It sure would.
You know? Holy cow. Can I talk a little bit about that technique?
Sure.
So I generally, when I'm frying chicken, add, before I even make the first piece of chicken, I add some bacon to my fry oil, and it scents it. And then I have a lot of kind of hot pepper in my dredge, in my flour. And so that, the bacon, the leftover hot stuff in the flour, that oil that I'm frying in becomes super fragrant. And I use that to make my gravy.
Bacon's a good trick. It's I wonder yummy. If I've had fried chicken in my own family and like that's some sort of secret recipe that like Aunt Patty didn't tell anybody she was using. Aunt Patty, why is the chicken so good? I'm not telling.
Why are people so protective over those family secrets, though? I feel like, pass them on.
Absolutely pass them on.
I think it's stuff that happened before we were born. Do you know what I mean? Like Aunt Barbara, who is my Aunt Barbara, my late Aunt Barbara, who is the mother of my Aunt Patty.
Mm-hmm.
She probably just didn't want Aunt Tony,
right,
Patty's sister, to know.
Her secret. You
know, it's right, exactly.
It's too political.
And then like Tony and Patty know, but Uncle Jerry, who's Aunt Barbara's brother, like has an ex-wife. She didn't want the ex-wife getting the recipe. That's just not right. So wow. You gotta keep it to yourself.
So deep.
People break up and they take that good ass recipe to some new family.
Well, that's true.
Not happening. No.
I'm just gonna grind some pepper in here.
Or you know what they'll do? They'll give you 95% of the ingredients.
That's what drives me crazy. It's my job to go into people's homes and figure out how to make the food that they're making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to cook it with them,
right,
and watch them and take notes and figure it out. Because when they send you the recipe,
can you get something out of that cabinet for me? And they turn around and like they add like the right, secret right, ingredient. Right. You don't see it.
And the secret ingredient might be something that either they're embarrassed about, right?
Yeah.
Or they just don't want you to know about because you might be embarrassed by it. I was in Washington State and I had some smoked salmon on the reservation outside of, I think it's Naya Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. Mm. And I asked the guy who was making it, what's the story here? Like, this is amazing. And he showed me the smoker and the beautiful wood. And then I said, well, what do you spice it with? And he goes, that's been handed down from the forefathers.
Classic excuse. And classic, you know,
the
story.
Ancestors. And yeah. And I was like, okay, I respect that. I respect you, sir. I respect. And then he broke out laughing and brought out the Lowry's.
Lowry's!
It was great.
So
was this
perfect.
A Negro you were talking to? I mean, Lowry's is like...
Lowry's is pretty good.
But I didn't even know it was called Lowry's. I was thought it's just called seasoned salt.
Seasoned salt. Right, right.
Yeah. I was like, people keep saying, get the Lowry's. And yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? And,
it's
good. And then I was like, oh, you mean the seasoned salt?
Yeah. Every culture loves MSG.
So one of the things we have to talk about is basically what this year will be like for Thanksgiving and how it's going to be different.
It's going to be different.
All bets are off. And we're not just talking about like what you bring or what you eat, what's in season, what's not in season. It's about how you behave.
Yep.
What's in season for conversation?
Yeah,
what's not in season for conversation?
Yeah, what's last season and what's this season?
Yeah.
This season is gonna be weird.
Tumi has a soft side. Discover their new Azra bag collection and its pillowy pleats, satin finish, and crescent shape. Azra is the bag to carry for your 9-to-5 and your 5-to-9 plans that follow. Versatility, after all, is Tumi's signature. Shop the full Azra collection on Tumi.com or at a Tumi store near you.
I'm Emily Badger. I'm a reporter with the New York Times. Since the pandemic, empty office buildings have become much more common in many cities. Why can't we just turn them into housing? It's actually a really complicated question. To answer this question, you have to find a developer trying to turn an office building into apartments, ride a rickety elevator to the 30th floor of a construction site to see the interior guts of a building, find an expert in incandescent light bulbs who can explain to you how they fundamentally change office buildings. And that's just the beginning of what you have to do. When you subscribe to the New York Times, You are sending reporters like me out into the world to ask questions of dozens of different experts, to go and visit places most people don't get to go, to try to come back with answers, and then turn all of that into something that anyone can understand. If you'd like to become a subscriber, head to nytimes.com/subscribe. You need to see the animated floor plans in this piece.
Part of the reason we're here, and we're also here with Sam's dog, Molly, who I love, but we wanted to talk this year about Thanksgiving more directly. Tensions might be high, depending on where you're from and where you're going and who you're bringing with you. So we're going to talk about that and sort of how to navigate this newfound terrain we're all in. And one of the ways you can do it is by following a certain set of rules.
Yeah, I think there are rules of behavior that help ensure a better, easier, more enjoyable Thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving is going to be different for lots of folks all across the country. Some families will be largely jubilant with some bummed out people in the corner of the table, and others will be largely sad with some jubilant outliers, or entirely sad or entirely jubilant. And if you find yourself as the outlier in one of those situations, as many Americans will at Thanksgiving, I think we just gotta, this year and perhaps always, practice radical acceptance of where you are and who you're with. The reason you're probably at that meal is because you feel love for some number of the people who mm-hmm. are there. Mm-hmm. And no matter who they voted for, you got to concentrate on the love part of the equation. You're not going to change anyone's behavior or point of view at the Thanksgiving table. No one's going to acknowledge.
Never happened in my family. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, people are who they are. They're not going right. to change at Thanksgiving just because you have a considered argument to make about your political point of view. It's just not going to happen.
But also, don't gloat.
No.
Don't gloat. Don't. If you.
No teasing. No mocking.
If your son, your daughter, your father, your mother has come to your home for dinner, don't make them feel bad.
Oh, absolutely not. As hosts, we definitely want to avoid that. Where it gets complicated, I think, is when you are at your parents' house or mm-hmm. your girlfriend's parents' house, your wife's parents' mm-hmm. house, or your boyfriend's mm-hmm. parents' house.
Right.
And you're not in control of the situation. This is not something, you're not setting the tone. And how you handle yourself and deal with that says a lot about you, and I hope says a lot about the direction we can move as a country. I'm hoping that we can all set good examples for one another at Thanksgiving this year and all years.
The best way to find those connections, that community, is over food. As long as you don't mess the food too much.
Yeah, listen, you got to be careful with the food. If this is not perhaps a year to try that new thing.
Right. No turkey mole.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's a thing? That's an option?
I just read it in your book, which I'm holding a copy of.
Turkey mole can be pretty good. I wouldn't introduce it this year, but there must be a turkey. That is one of my hard and fast rules.
Wesley's making a crazy face. Not everybody loves turkey, but it is a hard and fast rule. There's no Thanksgiving without a turkey.
Listen, Wesley, I know your face. It's like a rictus. I just want to say, do you eat a lot of turkey? Do you have turkey holidays?
Sam,
Is one holiday where we eat turkey?
He also texted me recently and was like, he was like, I'm making dinner. I said, what did you make? Well, I bought these turkey steaks. Turkey thighs.
Basically what Sam has. But his looks
and
way better
than delicious.
Mine.
And they were delicious.
Turkey thighs are awesome.
Someone out here
likes turkey.
You're not hearing me.
Well,
what I'm saying is all of these things on the table, they all point to one thing, you guys. Fried chicken. Why can't you have fried chicken at Thanksgiving?
You can have fried chicken the day after Thanksgiving. You can have fried chicken the day before Thanksgiving. I will grant you have fried chicken on Thanksgiving. But you need to have a turkey there.
Okay.
You just do. We accept it as a culture.
The turkey is more than the turkey.
Even though nobody wants it, by the way.
Everybody wants the turkey. Everybody You're crazy. Wants
it. They want it because it's there and somebody cooked it. Nobody really wants that turkey.
People love
turkey. I don't care how good it is.
People
nobody
love,
wants
people
it.
Love a turkey.
Nobody wants the turkey.
Everybody comes in. What time did the turkey go in? How's she doing?
That is ceremony.
Can I take a look at it?
The whole thing is ceremony.
It's the thing you talk about, so you don't have to talk about, like,
other things.
Where's little Timmy's dad?
Oh, my God.
And did you know Sue lost the house? And you know what I mean? There are lots of things you talk. You don't talk about. So you talk about the turkey.
It's real. It's real.
Okay.
No, I understand now. Thanksgiving, the food is a distraction from the other shit going on.
Well, so this was the question I wanted to raise. I have some rules, by the way, about Thanksgiving that we haven't touched on.
They're all in the book.
I'd like to no salad.
Yeah, we'll get.
Who is okay?
We'll get to that. But my question is, what is the moment of Thanksgiving? When does Thanksgiving as a ritual happen? Mm. Is it, I mean, absolutely the state of the turkey is a kind of narrative of the day in a way. The meal itself is a narrative. And then there are generally, in many families, there are activities that either precede or come after the meal that are very important parts of Thanksgiving. In my family, there's a walk after
the
meal before the dessert.
Mm.
But what is the moment when it all happens? Is it the conversation at the table? Mm. What is it for you guys?
I think it's the moment that everybody just sits down and starts to eat. My parents are both dead. We try to carry on the Thanksgiving tradition that my mother started. It's really my grandmother's in some ways, modified by my mother. But my grandmother is there most of the time. And she's supervising with her eyebrows. You know how it is.
Oh, sure.
Old black women. They keep their eye out.
I can't wait to be one. Go on. That'll be me all day.
So I think it's the moment where my sister is like, turn the football game off for 10 minutes, Chris. It's my brother-in-law and all his friends. And we turn off the TV. We all sit at the table. And nobody really talks about anything. Because my sister now invites all her girlfriends and their partners over. And so they talk about like stuff happening at their sorority.
Wait, hold on one moment. So the turning off of the football game is important.
Or turning down the volume because they still got to go in and not see.
TV's got to stay on. Come on.
But how does the meal begin? I think in a lot of families, even non-religious families.
The food is blessed.
There is a blessing. There is a blessing.
Yes,
right?
The food is blessed.
So here's an interesting thing that's going to happen this week as you're listening to this broadcast. Yeah. Over at nytimes.com/food on the food section, we're going to be kind of collecting stories about those blessings and about what
this.
It is that you, our loyal listeners, are thankful for in this difficult year or in your table and how that message is communicated around your Thanksgiving table. I think it's fascinating that the food is blessed in homes that are non-religious and in religious homes as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear more about it.
What's the deal with blessing your food?
I mean, you know, Thanksgiving was always a dad holiday. And so, and after he passed, I mean, we go to my mom's family's home, which I don't think is happening this year because of said tensions we're all talking about.
For you, they will eat.
No, I don't think that my mother or my sister wants to, or my niece wants to go. I think it's
so. Jenna, what will you do?
Well, I have not been spending Thanksgiving in the country for a couple of years now. I just sort of I miss all the dishes that my dad made, and it's like you're saying, like no one makes the thing like your parent makes the thing. And my mom is not Christmas is my mom's holiday, and she doesn't want to cook.
Truth.
So it's like I just don't have I can't have the dressing, I don't have the greens, I don't get the I don't get any of the things that I want, and everything is second tier in my memory. So I just skip it all together. Which is interesting. It's a very interesting strategy, and I think next year I'll be here for it. But this year, I'm peacing out.
I'm heartbroken. I want you come to my house.
Maybe I will.
What do you do? Come.
But what I love, but the thing I love the most though, from the moment for me Thanksgiving though, is in the kitchen because I'm the youngest and I have all these family members, or like my dad's cooking or my sister's. I never have to do a damn thing. I just get to eat things. I just make myself a drink and I stick my fingers in things and get yelled at.
Jenna,
just twirl
really,
around.
You got to stop with that.
I love it. You were that was the one time. time Wesley looked at me with anything less than love and adoring in his eyes, adoration, he was like,
sticking your finger in my food.
Out of the chicken. Yeah, that's what I'm using it for.
That's a fair rule. Don't touch the food.
Don't touch my food.
Look, I had like 2 glasses of wine. I was really hungry.
Oh, so let's talk about that, because that's a rule of mine.
Yeah.
I get it that you're really hungry, and so you were grabbing, and that happens at Thanksgiving, but you got to be... This is a tightrope that the host has to walk because
I have
a hard and fast rule. No appetizers.
Oh.
Wait.
Yes.
No deviled eggs?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Who are you people?
No appetizers.
Who are you people?
No,
you,
nuts.
You need to eat a meal before you come to my house.
No, I love a deviled egg. You can have a deviled egg on Friday. You can have one on Wednesday. But on Thursday, I didn't get up at 6 a.m. to put this turkey in, make all of these sides so that
stop
you can eat
fingers.
Half a wheel of brie and say, oh, I'm not hungry.
well, listen, no, but if you say that, then you're banned. Your invitation is permanently rescinded. But I'm just saying, what's the harm in a deviled egg? Why don't you hang out?
Can
drink
I just,
a glass of juice.
Can I just, I'm hearing you and agreeing with you 4,000,000,000%. I will feed little babies. When I'm, because you know,
you guys are cruel.
I am now in charge of Thanksgiving with my family because little kids,
sure.
I'll feed some babies. I'll make sure that they eat. They get
here's
a little yogurt cup
and yogurt
get out of
cup,
get away
get,
from
get away from me.
I feel like the closest I ever feel to being a Muslim or a Jew is Thanksgiving Day. I do not eat breakfast. I do not eat very long the night before. I don't eat all day so I can eat the hell out of all the food
that is presented to me. I do exactly the same thing, and I agree with it. What time is the Morris family meal?
Because controversy. What time is it?
Controversy. So when my mother was alive and able to like do it the way she always did it, which was probably right up till like 2 years before she died, we ate it around 3:30, 4, 5. That was her goal. So she'd wake up at the crack of dawn, get that turkey in the oven, and she'd start doing. She'd make pre-made coleslaw. There's a coleslaw at our family Thanksgiving.
Nice.
You know why there's a coleslaw? Because she'd like to make these big ass sandwiches the next day.
Oh,
and it's perfect.
Yeah,
coleslaw was prime ingredient.
Oh my! Yeah. I think I would have loved her. You want a perfect sandwich?
Let's see what's on it.
I love that first turkey leftover sandwich, which has all the leftovers
on
it
for that sandwich.
So a little dressing
on
that
sandwich in heaven right now.
Some cranberry sauce on that. It'd be great. I love the idea of having coleslaw because my second sandwich, right? So I had that first one usually at like midnight on Thanksgiving evening.
Oh, yeah.
But the next day, taking more leftover turkey meat, coleslaw. I like maybe a slice of Swiss in there and some Russian dressing.
I would eat that.
That is my mother's
right
sandwich.
Now. I would eat that right now.
She went back and forth with that Russian dressing because the coleslaw gave her a richness that she liked. And it gave her...
Oh, so she's a mayo-based coleslaw was her recipe.
Yes, we make a mayo-based coleslaw. But she tried that Thousand Island dressing for off and on. She's like, it doesn't... It's too wet. The dressing is competing with the coleslaw.
They need to be on opposite sides of the sandwich.
Right.
Oh, what kind of bread?
Well, see, you got big bread issues. And if Wesley's was falling apart... That's no good.
Listen, we're not a fancy family.
I think a roll like a Kaiser roll would do it. And then, so I would go Russian, the turkey meat, the Swiss, the coleslaw, and the top.
So what are some other rules, right? Like I cannot, no salad, I'm with you, no appetizers.
I think we should dwell on this issue of no salad. I recognize that we just champion coleslaw, and coleslaw is a
form of salad. Because also,
but I just think no salad.
No salad.
No salads, because what is a salad even going to do?
It's
you get your greens. You've got your, if you are a greens family, correct, you have your greens, whatever it's, those greens are.
It's an upsetting
it's
aberration
cold, it's
on that, the plate.
I think
it's just
that
too
is,
incongruent with the other things.
I think
on the plate.
I mean, coleslaw in my family worked because you could put it on the plate and you didn't. The only thing you're dressing on Thanksgiving is the only thing you're using as a dressing is gravy. Now, salad dressing is competing with too many other flavors for me.
Yeah.
Like, and what salad dressing are you going to use?
Yeah. If you think about it, really the only acidity that you should have on your Thanksgiving plate will come from the cranberry sauce, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
where
yeah.
you get Absolutely. That bright, sour, Absolutely. Whatever.
Unless you're having everything.
You don't want, you yeah. want like the salad dressing on the plate.
No.
But you want
no,
the cranberry
no.
sauce touching Balsamic. Everything.
Balsamic. No. No. Get no, away. No, no, no.
It doesn't belong. No, it doesn't belong in other things.
You can have.
I'm with you.
Again,
on that.
I say that as a person who loves salads.
Oh, I eat salad every day.
I'm Steingarten on the salad.
164 days of salad.
You guys have not read Jeffrey Steingarten's masterpiece on how dumb salad is, by all means check it out. It's in The Man Who Ate Too Much. Find that.
Which is a terrific book.
For terrific book. Best essay ever written about salad ever. Sorry. Moving on.
Moving away from the salad bar. Look at that. That gravy is gonna be good.
I'm starving. I mean, I've been smelling this food for about yeah. a long time. I'm ready to eat.
Let's eat some turkey, then let's have a nap. Sam, is there a place we can have a nap after we
Absolutely.
Eat?
Absolutely.
Yay!
To the couch. I even taped some football games.
Yeah. Well, that was delicious.
So damn delicious.
I'm on the verge of being asleep right now.
I know.
For any number of reasons. Partially because it's preferable to being awake.
No, I mean, I had no idea like that Sam's, you know, smoked turkey leg would be healing for my soul. And it was.
I've been trying. I'm glad it took Sam Sifton to get you to understand the magic of the turkey parts.
It makes me wish I was here for Thanksgiving. It makes me kind of sad. Like, I didn't think I was going to miss it, but I am.
You really should not. You couldn't have picked a better time to go away for 3 weeks.
Listen, I didn't know. It's not my fault. I'm going to be on a beach. I'm going to send you a Snap postcard. Trust me.
Nobody.
Next time you're coming with me.
No friend is going to stop you from taking this trip. Trust me. So before you go,
yeah.
I thought it would be fun to try to get some sense of how you think people should be traveling right now.
Mm-hmm.
What you do when you travel.
Mm-hmm.
What advice you might have for people traveling in unfriendly territory?
Listen, if you booked a layover, if your flight has a layover. No, I think, I mean, you know, so much has just changed. The landscape of our country is just very different right now. And everybody's a little bit on edge. And traveling around the holidays, any holiday, is already very stressful. So we all have to just go into it with a lot more, you know, gentleness. We have to be a little bit more prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I travel all the time for work. For this trip, I'm going to South Africa for a conference co-hosted by NYU. And then I'm taking a road trip up the West African coast with a friend of mine.
You really were going to give that up for a turkey leg.
Jealous, huh?
Oh, here we go.
Going to the beaches, going to work on my, you know, anyway.
Glute much, Miss Wortham?
I can't help it. I'm so excited. Okay, but there are things I always, always, always do before trip. And especially this trip because the travel time is like 17 hours. Mm-hmm. It's insane. So the one thing, and I think this applies to anyone that's going to be traveling and needs like any extra kind of relaxation or any extra tips to just zone out and have the smoothest flight possible, always make sure you have enough material to keep you company while you travel.
That's good advice.
You can, and make sure it's downloaded so you have it offline. Nothing worse than opening up your phone. You're like, I got this new playlist together.
Yep.
Play. It's like, neural connection offline. You're like, no. So you have to make sure that everything you rent,
download it.
Yeah. So I always get a couple of new books and put them on my Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to read in print, but look, I like to travel light. Get some new books.
So wait, can I pause you? I don't have a reading device.
Yes, you do. You have a smartphone. You put the app on your phone.
It's too small. It's too small.
Well, that's what I use.
Should I use an iPad?
Sure.
I mean, what you're saying is you're a fool to travel with a bunch of books.
I mean, I just personally like to travel lightly. I'll bring a book because I am going on the beach, and I'll just bring one so I can take it on the beach with me and I don't have to look at my phone like in the sun or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking specifically about the flight.
Okay.
You don't want to have to worry like, oh, I checked my thing or whatever. So you just want everything is like,
like
as streamlined as possible.
No, it's great advice. I tend to bring a lot of books and magazines.
Yeah. My travel treat is a glass of red wine and like Us Weekly. That's like my favorite thing. As soon as I'm like through security, I'm like, it's my time. And that's my time.
What next?
Okay, so, well, I definitely like to download ocean sounds or rain sounds because I can put them if there's a baby crying or if there's, it's just like noisy. Even if I don't want to sleep, it's just really, it's like really soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And also any like TV shows or whatever you might want to watch, download to your devices, because in the event that you're traveling with a cranky partner or a child or a friend or an aisle mate, you can just like hand them the device and be like, I got you, boo. Watch this movie for an hour. Chill out. And the worst thing is when you get on a plane and there's no in-flight entertainment.
Mm.
I'm like this. No! No! So you don't ever want to be in that.
17-hour flight wouldn't have that.
I just mean, I'm not saying for
In general.
In general.
Yeah,
for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know you're going to be on the janky two-seater, you know, two-aisle-seater.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I want to recommend is going to like a health store or any kind of juice store and taking, I made you do this when we, after we did yoga that time, take like an oil of oregano, you know, lemon ginger shot.
Yep.
Which you said tasted like an inside-out orange, which makes it sound good, but they're disgusting.
It wasn't good, but it didn't taste as bad as I thought it was going to taste. I'll just put it that way.
The oregano is a really powerful antimicrobial, and the last thing you want to do in traveling is get sick on either end of that trip.
I didn't realize oregano did that.
You know, people take pills of oregano. I just don't like being sick, so I'll do anything to try to keep the germs away on a flight. The last thing I want to recommend is, I recommended this before once, but just buying some ginger chews, like ginger candy that you can find at any health food store, because A, I never know what I'm going to be eating on the other side of a trip, and I need things to calm my stomach, but also flying makes you really farty, and so the ginger helps.
I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you. I'm going to call into the show. Don't worry.
Yes.
You're never going to stop hearing from me. I'm going to text you at all hours of the night.
Thank you. All right, you guys.
That's our delicious and savory show. Thanks for tuning in as always.
I'm going to let Jenna do it so I can eat.
Yeah, you do. Well, I don't know it. You do the first part. I always do the second part.
Not today. I'm getting new.
Still Processing is a product of the New York Times and Pineapple Street Media,
which is run by Max Linsky and Jenna Weiss-Berman and Harry Malofsky. And there's a little editorial assistance and guidance from Lisa Tobin and Sam Hennig.
And you can find all of our links and recipes and various things at nytimes.com/stillprocessing.
I'm going to be processing this food for the next 4 hours. It's so good.
Do you know what the name of the breed of turkey that is most commonly sold in the United States?
Alex Trebek.
What is it? I don't know.
It's called the broad-breasted white.
Smartwool makes merino wool socks and apparel designed to keep you comfortable, so you can do all the things you love outside all day long. Get 15% off on smartwool.com. Smartwool. Go far. Feel good.